Our Father's precious name, I am that I am. You know, a man at this time that one gave so much for all. That is to say, at Passover, when Christ paid the price for all of us, that when we repent, all of our sins are just washed away. And, you know, we have these people that will still talk about authority. I think it's important that, foremost, it is true that churchmen must practice discernment, but no judging. Okay. That's out of the book. It's off limits. It's for any human being to judge another human being. Therefore, I thought to do a little study in the word I, in I am that I am. The word I in the Greek is, it goes epsilon, gamma, and omega, the end. That is, when we say I in Greek, that means it can be just said or it can be said emphatically. That's what Christ always used when he said I am. The word is pronounced E-G-O. What does that sound like in English? Ego, you know. And I think sometimes men allow their ego to get mixed up in the I am a little more than it should be, just because the word I in the Greek is pronounced ego. So open your Bibles, if you would. Let's go back to the beginning. Exodus, in the great book of Exodus, when God spoke to man and instructed us, we must always follow God's instructions as far as his name and the I am are concerned. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. God is giving Moses instructions, and when he goes down the hill, it's kind of like, hey, who am I going to tell them sent me? Who am I going to tell them by what authority? So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now naturally, in the Hebrew tongue, what he said is, my name is Yahashua. Being translated, I am that I am in Hebrew, not Greek as I fore stated. Taken then, that setting the etymology for his name. Therefore, his name from that etymology with the four consonants, YHVH. And putting vowels so that man can pronounce it, because of the lock-in in the book of Esther in acrostics from the Hebrew language, it is locked in Yahweh. And it can be pronounced no other way. Now, you'll have people that'll spell it different. Hey, everybody has a right to be wrong. It's okay. But what I'm saying is, well, are you saying you know everything? No, my Father does. Okay, it's locked in the Bible. There's nobody can change it. That's it. Okay, it's not even open for... When God translates something for us, man shouldn't mess with it. Now, if God gives us a parable, man should work with it. But when God translates for us, you're going to get in trouble if you try to translate it past when he just gives you the simple meaning. Okay. So in the book of Esther, anyone that is not up to speed on that, ask at the bookstore for my paper on the sacred name, and you'll be one happy dude, all right? Or a person, maybe I'd better say. All right? Now, from this comes YHVH, locked in, Yahweh, but also our Father had a son, only one begotten. And he utilized this term, I am, many, many times. And the reason I want to discuss it today is once you absorb who I am is, you don't have to worry about authority. You don't have to question what authority man has, because we know where the authority comes from. That is not to say that God doesn't use people, but he is our authority. He is the I am. That is his name, all right? And even in the New Testament, which we're going to now, and we're going to follow this through of the great I am. I, ego, epsilon, gamma, omega, the E. He is the alpha and the omega. And first and the last letter of the alphabet. And within that, he is our all in all. And there's, when he's the beginning and the end, then why would you want to look somewhere else for something else? Okay, and that's said in kind of a spiritual sense, and I hope you can pick up on it from that. Okay, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. New Testament. Let's see what the Father has to say on these things. Many people wonder why there is so much trouble in life, and as trouble goes along. Luke chapter 10, let's pick it up with verse 17. He has just sent the boys out. And man, I mean, they've been out there working, beating the bushes, and trying to find new people. And let's see what they say. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 17, this is the ones he had sent out, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. What name? His name, of course. Satan himself, even if you would, the devil subject to them through his name? Because you got power over him when he exercises that authority in you. And this is where he gave it to you. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Meaning, this is a prelude to the false Messiah when he comes to the earth. Jesus says, I saw it. It's going to happen. This is why you need this power. This is why you need this authority. But I want you to note who saw Satan falling from heaven. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The only begotten Son did. We need look no further. He is our authority, and if you don't ask it in his name, I guarantee you, you're about to be upset, disappointed, disillusioned. You have to recognize the power chain and never forget it, giving all the credit to our Heavenly Father when we serve him. Verse 19, behold, I, got it? I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What a promise! I give you that power. So, you know, that gives you reason that you should love him pretty good. You owe him a lot because he died for you. He died on the cross so that when you repent, your sins are washed away. Gone. And you know what he says? I don't want to hear about him again. Don't bring it up to me. Why? Well, if you bring it up again, you're accusing him of not being able. He is. He said, not only am I able, but I'm going to instill this power in you if you believe. If you follow me. That's real simple. But you do have to believe, or you're peddling air, okay? And you're not going anywhere. You have to recognize. Do you know what this word power is in the Greek? It's dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. I mean, Satan cannot come into your home and destroy your family if you say, go to the door and say, in Christ's name, out. Get out of my house. In Jesus' name. Anoint the doorpost with the oil of our people, and he'll run like a scared rabbit. You don't have to put up with stuff. He has given you. I, our Savior, gave you that power. Don't ever fail to use it. Take authority over wickedness, over that that is evil. And let God see how a child of God is supposed to act. When he couldn't give you a greater gift. Do you understand? All of your enemies, do you know that means Satan also? Not only just his little evil spirits. Not just little negative thoughts that come around your house. I mean, even over Satan, you have that authority. Use it and never be afraid to. It's yours as a believer and a follower of Almighty God. Verse 20, notwithstanding, besides that, in this rejoice not. That shouldn't be the only thing you're happy about, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, you're in the book. Why is it written in heaven? It means everybody's name is written in heaven, but sometimes there's some real bad stuff beside the name. And boy, are they going to get it. All right? But righteous acts covers a multitude of sins. Okay? And because I don't know any of us that's perfect yet. And we're working on it. But I guarantee you, Satan's going to try. He's going to try. If you're hurting his toes, he's going to try to kick you off of him. All right? You're the one that kicks him out the door. You don't put up with it. Okay? But rejoice that you're on the winning side, that you're on Christ's team. Rejoice that he knows when he gives you the ability, the power, the dunamis, that he can count on you. You're on that side of the gulf that he knows he can count on you to stand against Satan's fiery darts. All right? Verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Don't ever forget it. He's not only the Lord of heaven, he's Lord of this earth also. Satan is the prince of the power of darkness. If you let him, I'm sorry, it's your fault. It's not Christ, because he gave you power to put a stop to it now, not later. That thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Well, the politically correct would not have trouble seeing that. Well, that's their tough stuff, okay? And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Lord loves it. All things, listen carefully, this is where the authority comes from. And if you ever are not being blessed by Almighty God, remember this verse and be humble before him. All things are delivered to me of my Father. Now, how many things were delivered to Jesus? All things. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. I don't know, has the Son revealed him to you, Emmanuel, God with us? If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. You know, that's pretty simple, you know, that it doesn't take the brightest nickel on the block to understand who both were. Okay? When God said, let us create man in our image, when you saw the Son, you saw the recreation of God, but God walking in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. It doesn't take, like I said, the brightest nickel to figure that out. That's what knowledge is, released from I Am, our Heavenly Father, and his Son that walked this earth and paid the price. When, I don't know, it seems like we always start out going to do pretty good. And you always leave that door open a little crack, and first thing you know, Satan slips in. And here we got to throw out some stuff and get back in the groove again, all right? But Christ was perfect. He was. And He so loved you and trusts you that He will see to it that you are qualified to carry that power and authority, and that He can use you and He can trust you. What is true wisdom? True wisdom comes from Almighty God that goes eternal. Everything else is temporal and very short-lived. It's whichever boat you want to sail, it's your boat. You better sail it right and keep it off the rocks. I would advise you to go with He who gives you the power to be successful. Otherwise, what are you? You want to be successful, and He wants everyone to be successful. I mean, even to the point of being rich. If you're rich with God's blessings, don't apologize for it. That's glory. Okay, that's a blessing. It's those that are rich with ill-gotten gains that have problems. He says, give you that authority. I am able, and I have the power because God has placed all authority in my hand to do this. And blessed are you and happy if your name falls in that column that you understand that you have and carry and are armed with that power to keep Satan's wickedness away from your family. As long as they'll halfway work with you. Back to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to do some 10s today. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, let's take it with verse 16. The I am speaking, Christ. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, let me ask you a question. The reason God, through the Son, utilizes animals and creatures, you see them and have a working knowledge of them, especially when you work with animals. Tell me this. What shepherd would send a little old lamb, a sheep, out among wolves? I mean, and right in the middle of them. You and I both know what would happen to a lamb or a sheep if it got right in a pack of raving wolves. Now, I'm going into detail here because I want you to know and understand, when you go out into the world as a Christian, you're going to get, some people are going to try to chew on you, friend, because they're wolves. They're going to try to tear you up. They're going to try to take your beliefs and turn them upside down. Now, let me ask you a question. As a sheep herder, who protects? You know, a sheep is like a little baby. They're about the most helpless creature God created. As far as, they don't have any fangs, they don't have any claws to rip. They're helpless, except for what? The shepherd. And I don't ever forget that. The reason He's not afraid to send you among wolves, the I is your shepherd. And a shepherd always takes care of his sheep wherever they are. Now, I can take this from a different angle from what we just covered. You can be a shepherd, you can be a sheep in the middle of a bunch of wolves, but if God has given you power over all of your enemies, you still don't have anything to fear. That's what the shepherd did for you to protect yourself. All right? And when we say as wise as shepherds, but as harmless as doves, have you ever seen a little female dove protect her nest? You know, I bet I have 50 turtle doves that I feed every day out in my backyard. I really was feeding cardinals and birds like that, but turtle doves are smart. They decided, if he's putting that feed out there, I'm going for it. And they sing to me when I put the feed out. That even though they may be flying around and in circles, they have a beautiful call. They say, what they're saying is, it's him again. He's back. Good time for us. He's going to feed us. But they are vicious, a female dove, in protecting her nest. But let me ask you another question. If you're wiser than the serpent, you don't have to worry about him anyway. Why? Number one, if you're wise, you know you have power and authority over him. We've already covered that. So, but with true wisdom, you even beat him when he's trying to make hay, all right? Because you're wiser than he is. And when God blesses your every move, you can't go wrong. Well, does that mean that nothing will ever go wrong? Oh, it will. You may get clear up to your knees in it, friend, of wrong. But a wise person knows that God's never going to place more on you than you can handle. And he is always going to show you a way out. God doesn't like hothouse lilies. Let me ask you a question. Who does? You know, who wants a friend that the first time a little opposition comes up, says, oh, I'm out of here. You know? If you're going to combat against Satan, you want some friends with you that it don't matter what happens, they're going to be right there. They're going to be with you. They're not going to run. And we're going to win. There is no doubt about it. And that's the kind of friends you want, all right? Not a bunch of wimps. So, be wiser than the serpent. Hey, you know, I'm going to say it again, and it may offend some. You don't have to be the brightest nickel on the block to be wiser than the serpent. He's a dead man. He's a dead man walking. He'll promise you all kinds of halos. And what kind of a halo can a dead man promise you? Nothing. He's got nothing. And he's a very short-termer. All right, 18. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Whose sake? Your sake? My sake. For this is just another tense of the word ego in the Greek, meaning I, my sake. For a testimony against them and the Gentile nations. All right. Should be translated nations. What is your purpose? To just tear Jake up here and there? No, a testimony. Before you can have a testimony, guess what you got to have? You got to have something. You got to know something. That's what testimonies are. Now, naturally, there will be a time when we won't know, but the Holy Spirit will. You understand that. 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. How many of you know what hour we're talking about here? The hour of temptation, of course. Tell me, brother, when is the hour of temptation? It's when Satan's down, kicked out of heaven by Michael, Revelation 12, 7 and 8. To play little Jesus boy down here on earth to see how many he can load in his wagon. How many have really read this letter from Almighty God? The hour of temptation doesn't bother us. That's the time we let the Holy Spirit speak. You don't have to premeditate or think. It will be given you. 20. And it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father. Now, wait just a minute. I thought it would be the Holy Spirit. It did say it. It said the Spirit of your Father. Well, what is the Spirit of my Father? It's the Holy Spirit. You got it? Don't ever forget that. That's important. You'll never understand the Godhead if you can't absorb that. Okay? which speaketh in you. 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the child shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, when does that happen? Why would a child do that? When they think it's Jesus they're talking to. They go up and say, "Oh, Jesus." They don't know it's the devil himself playing Jesus. Instead of Christ properly translated means, Antichrist properly translated, I already gave it to you, means instead of Jesus. And a child will go there that is a good Christian child that has been told about how Eve ate the apple and was happy ever after, you know, likes apple goodies, rather than the truth, which is to say that Eve was seduced. Who is death anyway? Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14? God came to this earth, died on the cross in the form of the Son. That he would never ask man to do something you might think he's too good to do. And he died on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. So you're going to be delivered up before death, delivered up before the devil, the false Messiah. You know, what have you got to worry about? The shepherd says, "I'm even going to tell you through the spirit of your father," which is to say the Holy Ruach, the Holy Spirit, I'll even say it in Greek, pneuma, okay, that tells you what to say. Why? Because it'll be him talking. That's the testimony. And this is why it's real easy to say, we win, because somebody's got a call. Always turn off your little beepers, Martha. Anyway, well, national television, welcome to the club. It happens in the best of families. All right, so there we go. Now, never forget where that authority comes from. Don't ever let some man tell you, I'm your preacher. I'm your spiritual father. Okay. And you need to let me tell you where to go, where to stay. And if you ever sin, you need to come to me and tell me all about it. Now, this book says you're supposed to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, about it. The book says you're to follow the shepherd. There's only one. Why do people like to play games? I don't know. But when some man starts putting this trip that he is your authority, then you've been had, friend. I mean, get away from it. Don't listen to it. Your authority, the one that gives you power, is your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget it. Don't follow this man or any other man. Follow him and his word. Claim the promises that he has made to you in the simplicity of which he puts it forth. They're yours. And be blessed. That's the way it is, my friend. Don't let someone disillusion you. Did Jesus say, "Now some of this authority wasn't put under me, I put it under man"? He didn't say that. Man is to discern and to discipline and to keep order. But we have one shepherd, and that's Almighty God through the Son. All right, let's go with let's do John 10. We've done a few 10s here. Let's see what John 10 might have for us in this same vein. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." don't ever try to go through another door. Don't ever let anyone herd you through another door. He is the door, not some man. And there is that word, I am. That's the sacred name of Almighty God instilled in the very manuscripts, giving you the stamp of approval. This is from me. This is the head. This is Yahweh, Almighty God, speaking to you. I am the door. That's where the power comes from, my friend. Don't let somebody rob you. Don't let somebody cheat you. He is the door. Verse 8, all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. True sheep won't listen to a robber or a thief. They know where the door is. They know who the shepherd is. They don't listen to some traditions of men. That's a bunch of malarkey. Don't ever forget that. Verse 9, I am, there it is again, the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be what? He shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. What is pasture? Pasture for a sheep is grazing right off. Food everywhere. Spiritual food. Why? God's going to see to it that you are fed spiritually. Do you know that's where the word pastor comes from? A pastor, a true pastor, makes certain that God's sheep are fed from God's word, not man's doings. But that's perfect English. Don't wrinkle your nose at it. Okay, perfect English. That gets it said. And if you're a communicator, sometimes you have to kind of see if people are awake. All right. 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is the destroyer. That's one of his names. I am, here's the name again, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly for how long? Forever. Don't get yourself shortchanged. Satan will rob you. He will work into your family. Satan has been known to even work through little children. You got to be wiser than he is, and you should be. He sent you the letter on how to spot his every move and sense it even spiritually. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, not the bad. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, all these boys wanting to be shepherds. Yes, I'll be brother so-and-so, and I'm the church of the Golden Tooth. It's the Bob Cobb Ministries. You know, I mean, now this is the ego, I guess. Only I, the Heavenly Father, is the only shepherd. How many of those shepherds have died for you? Most thing I hear them for is wanting to get in your pocket. You know, we need your money to stay on the air. Well, if they were blessed of God, they wouldn't have to be beggars, would they? God would see to it that they stayed there. Okay. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There's only one that was perfect and died for you. Don't ever forget it. And don't let some poor, miserable imitation try to take his place. There's only one. I am. Verse 12. But he that is an hireling, he that does it for the money, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, only God owns the sheep, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. You can sure tell the difference in a hireling and a true dedicated person, all right? God himself will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're wired into the right spiritual circuit, you're not going to be scattered. You're straight on, because you're wiser than the serpent. 13, the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He knows the elect. Why? He knew them from before the foundations of the earth, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I chose you before the foundations of this earth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah, I knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. And Jeremiah, while you were in your mother's womb, I chose you as a prophet. So our Father calls his sheep. He knows. He knows from when they were with him, whether he can trust them, whether they overcame, or what the situation is. 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for sheep. And he did. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's the Father of all children, okay? Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. How many shepherds are there? There's only one. One shepherd, and he is I am. 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. 18, listen carefully. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, he could have called forth a band of 10,000 angels and run those Kenites totally out of the country. But you see, he did this for you, that you would have the privilege of choosing. He gave you a ship to sail, and he made you the captain of it. That's to say, your body. It's your ship. You're going to have all kind of advice in life. And some people have this habit of saying, well, if so-and-so hadn't advised me to do this, that, or the other, I wouldn't have sunk. No, you're the captain of the ship. When you listen to so-and-so instead of Almighty God, you should sink. He is the shepherd, and you're the captain of your ship. Don't ever start trying to blame somebody else for your shortcomings. You have this letter he sent you on how to be blessed and prosperous. You have this letter how he told you to have it all. Look at the gifts he has promised you and insists, hey, don't worry. If you worry, it won't add 1 second to your whole life. I know what you need. If you'll just do what I tell you to, I will add all those things onto you. You know, that's scripture and it's true. But you do have to believe. And you have to trust him, the true shepherd, to know that he leads and he guides you. In closing, we're going to take John 14. John chapter 14, you're all familiar with these this particular chapter. It's where he promised you a mansion. Only it's pretty well that you know what the Greek word means. It doesn't mean mansion like we take in English. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. I mean, you don't worry, do you? I mean, if you love the Lord, you've got nothing to worry about. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's the I am in both cases. In my Father's house are many mansions. Moni means resting place, simply. And the only rest you're ever going to get out of life is in Christ. You understand? That's it, friend. You don't have to wait till heaven to receive it. You can receive it now. You can rest in him because he's the head shepherd. And he gives you power over all of your enemies. What more could you ask for? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Got it? Three. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. I, not maybe, not perhaps, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Have the rule. Okay. Again, I am. For, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. They should have. He had taught them. But, as with many people, you know old Doubting Thomas, verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We don't know what you're talking about. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am, this is emphatic, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know, do you have all those things? Do you know the way? Do you know the way to happiness and success and prosperity? Do you know the truth, which is to say this letter from that God has sent you, the Word of God, telling you everything and how to do it, and to do it properly? And the life, that means eternal life. It's His promise. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the door. You're wasting your time looking anywhere else. Verse 7, if ye had known me, I in a different sense, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye have known him and have seen him. What did he say? It's so simple, a child can understand it. If you've seen Jesus, if you had seen Jesus, you're looking at the Father. Why? He was made in His image. He was made to look like... What did God say, call him? Call the child Emmanuel. Now this gets deep right here, friend. A lot of people just can't quite reach it. What is it that... It's even translated. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. What about yourself? Who was he talking to when he said, let us make man in our image? Who do you look like? I mean, that's the Word of God, not my Word. Well, let me see. Who do I look? Well, I look like myself. Go to the head of the class. Bingo. That takes a wizard to figure some of this out. It really does. Okay. Verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. I believe about this time, 9, how much patience he had. Listen, Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I mean, I've been with you. You've walked with me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, showest us the Father? Come to the party. I mean, it takes patience for him to teach like that and on that level, to answer the question over and over. And finally, hello, anybody home? He simplifies the word where a child can teach it and understand it. Okay? It's beautiful. The I am. I am the door. I am the truth. Well, what is the truth? The truth is what sets you free from the tanglement of this world and Satan's little traps, where you can shuck them off and walk through like a champion of God, because you won't tolerate it. Your tolerance for Satan's entrapments grows less and less, the tolerance does, and you do something about it. In the name of who? Who gives you power over devils? Jesus does. Yeshua, the I am. Within the I am, there is action. And I suppose that's what a lot of people kind of need, a little heat on the seat. I don't mean punishment. I mean to get them going or something. To invigorate them, move them, all right? To get into the Word, into this beautiful love letter that our Father has written us, in the simplicity of the I Am, that I Am would have, would He would die for you. I don't know, did He get a good bargain? Did He get a good bargain in you that He died for you and now He has you? Or did He get robbed? Okay. Well, He thinks He got a good bargain when you even try. So you think about it. Love Him. Follow Him. Stay in that truth, in that simplicity. And don't ever rob His authority and try to place it in some man. This is what Paul taught mainly in the letter to the Corinthians, is stop following man and follow God. They were trying to say, well, we have the church of Paul and we have the church of Apollos and we have the church of Cephas. He said, there's only one, it's Christ. So that's where your power comes from. Tie yourself into that. You'll always do well. I don't care if you're out in this world of wolves, and they're there. There's plenty of them out there. They will shy away from you like a big dog from a little tick when they see it. They're gone. Okay. Satan doesn't like God's children, so see that you let him know you are one of his children. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for this letter that you have written us, giving us the advice of success, longevity in the eternity. Father, we thank you for it, and we thank you for the I Am, the Son, your only begotten Son that paid that price, Father. Thank you. We ask it in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
William from Colorado. Well, are you talking politics? And there's no politics about that, my friend. Those are facts, okay? Can a person, this is William from Colorado, can a person return to God at any time in their life, regardless of what you have done wrong, if you repent? That's what repentance is about. I'm going to tell you something, William. Well, if a person deliberately planned to do a sin, in other words, it was not weakness or lust or something that made them weak and just drew them off, but deliberately beforehand planned to allow weakness to draw them off and then come back and repent, I'd say it'd take a whole lot of knee power. Okay. To get that straightened out. You don't con God and you don't fool him, but yes, you can. All, God is always, Christ would teach 7 times 70. That's 490 times of forgiveness, even in a day. Jeremy from Michigan. God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. What about those that are going to hell? What about it? Did God leave them? Answer, surely you don't think he did. You certainly wouldn't be a very bright nickel if you thought that's what it meant. God promised he wouldn't leave you. He didn't promise you would never leave him. You see, God didn't leave them. They left God. And they're out there on their own, and we just hope they have a real good trip and enjoy it while they can. Okay, but God didn't leave them nor forsake them. They left God. Okay. Chris from Virginia, does it say somewhere in the Bible that you should not live in homes that join themselves together, built on top of each other? Yeah, it does. Isaiah, where is it? I believe it's chapter 8. I could be corrected on that. Woe to those that join house on the house. It goes a lot like, I always like to think of the analogy, don't put all your apples in one barrel. Do you know why? If you got a rotten apple down in the bottom, pretty soon every apple in the barrel's rotten. Okay? It kind of goes through, and it's like if you've got people and you crowd them up to where they can't see the sun, and they can't take a walk, they can't hear the birds, they can't see the deer, they can't smell the oxygen from trees, and they're just cramped up in concrete jungle. The disease increases more, garbage piles up. Now, I'm not saying this to be insulting. I'm just saying this is the way disease gets started, is congestion, all right? And like myself, I live in a 40-acre square, and there's not one policeman in that whole square, just an old double-barrel shotgun, that's all. But if you were in New York City, you'd have 40 cops. You'd need them. Okay. I don't need them. Okay. My old double barrel takes care of business, all right? So it's just wherever one is and wherever, it causes a lot of trouble, okay? And naturally, I'm just a country boy, so I know, but the real thing is God knew what it would do. Crime would increase. People couldn't see the actual value of life. When you can't see something grow, that's awful. To me, it would be. Okay. Jerry from Oklahoma. Where is it written that the Spirit goes to the Father? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. When this old body here goes back to dust, instantly the Spirit returns, which is the intellect of the soul, meaning the soul goes back to the Father that gave it. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Brad from Washington. What do you do about a pastor who holds people through scare tactics? He tells people, cross me, leave or get, if you leave or get in my way, and God will get you on or curse you or kill you. He has my wife scared to even think on her own. Only any help appreciated. Well, I would talk to him. And I would tell him, why don't you call a curse? How can you call yourself a pastor if you claim you can call a curse down on me? I'd be Christian. And anybody that messes with my wife, I punch them right in the nose. I scare them so bad. Now, I'm giving some advice here that might get you in trouble, okay? What I'm saying is there ain't no spooks in the world. We are the top dog. Christians are, okay? I don't care what anybody says, and I don't care if it offends anyone. We're top dogs, crying, because God chose us to see that things are kept right. How else would we be the superpowers? That's not said in pride. It's earned. I shed blood in part to help get it that way on the battlefield. And that's why God blesses us, as we keep what is right, and God loves us. And it's a shame that you've got a preacher that thinks he can call a curse on someone. He's on an ego trip. He's worthless, okay? When a preacher goes on an ego trip and thinks, there's some kind of new teaching about authority. The authority we have is Almighty God. In case this preacher don't know it, God's in charge, and he will correct this person, all right? Talk some sense into your wife and let her know that he's Satan instead of, he's practicing Satan's tactics by fear rather than God, okay? Winfred from Pennsylvania. How can we go to heaven and meet our Lord and know our relatives if we are cremated? I don't understand. You sure don't. Okay. We're going to be teaching the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and you're going to learn that we have two bodies. We're going to get rid of this flesh body. You're certainly not going to be in the flesh body in heaven. Why would you want to be, Winfred? Have you ever had a corn on your foot, toe? Have you ever been just something hit you real hard, like a car door or mash a finger? In heaven, you can close the car door on your finger and it don't even hurt. Okay. That's a spirit body, all right? It's not flesh. And it doesn't matter. I quoted to the young man a moment ago, where is it written that the spirit goes instantly to the Father? It says right there that this flesh body goes back to dirt. So, are you going to have dirt walking around with you in heaven? I don't think so. It goes back to dirt and it stays there. We're through with dirt. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it grieved God that he had made man flesh also, dirt. It's not going to happen again, and we're going to go back to our original body, which is to say, spiritual. So that's why you don't understand. But don't miss the 15th chapter, or you can pick it up yourself and understand. Paul does an excellent job of teaching, beginning with verse 36 in that chapter, about a little kernel of corn. Phyllis from Ohio. Please explain Revelations chapter 9 about the locust and the scorpions. And I'm out of time. It's prophetic, and it means the locust army of Satan's, and the scorpions is how that they can bite and not kill and so forth. I'm out of time. I got to go. I love you all a bunch. Do you know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. And what's most important, it makes God's day. Why? He's the one that wrote the letter to you. And when you take that kind of an interest in it, it does. It just makes his day. And let him know you love him to boot. That's what he really wants from you, is your love. And he will certainly bless you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, this. Stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This